This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Why did we stop it so quickly? There was no bad word there.
Yeah, there is.
Okay. Dan, your mouth is moving. I cannot hear you.
Sorry, Dan.
I was right in the middle of my groove.
Oh, I think that's a great song. By the way, Black Smoke is coming out of the Sistine Chapel as we speak. No Pope today.
Ah.
When is the next vote?
I believe tomorrow morning.
Maybe Pope tomorrow.
We watched Conclave.
Will not be playing that song ever again.
We watched Conclave last night.
Have you seen the renewed interest in Conclave since all this went down?
It is a run, do not walk.
Really?
It is really, really good.
Okay.
And Ralph Fiennes is brilliant. He no spoiler. You never see the ending coming.
Oh, okay.
It is one of those where you're like, whoa.
Sneaks up on you?
Yep. It really does.
Surprise.
It's 2 hours long, so it's kind of a ma'am, medium-ass movie.
Okay.
Oh, it's a movie.
Yeah, it's a movie.
It's a movie. It's not a series. It's on Amazon Prime. And so if you're watching everything that's going on in the Vatican City, it shows you kind of the behind the scenes, what really does happen when they get together for the conclave to elect a new pope. And
is it the best, most educated guess based on like historical documents and books that have been written about this?
Yes.
Because it's not like the cardinals all come out blabbing about it.
It's really good.
Okay.
It's really good.
Will it make me mad? Because usually things like that make, okay.
I don't think so.
Okay.
You know, it gets into the mechanisms of it all and how there is politics involved.
Of course.
And there's behind the scenes maneuvering and we like this guy. Do you like this guy? No, I don't like that guy. Do you like this guy?
Yeah,
no,
I saw
we don't
the report
like him.
That there was no politics involved. Okay.
Oh, give me a break.
Whatever.
Give me a break.
Like with any kind of organization, et cetera, et cetera. There's always the stuff behind the scenes.
So it is very interesting. It shows you like where the cardinals live when they come to the Vatican. It's almost like a dormitory.
Okay, did you see from Politico that actual cardinals are watching Conclave for guidance on the actual conclave? This is not an Onion headline. The 2024 movie has proven a useful primer for clerics that are taking part in the real thing to choose the next pope. Faced with the highly secretive and complex ritual of choosing a new pope, Catholic cardinals have turned to Hollywood to learn how it all could play out. As crazy as it might sound, some of the 133 high-ranking clerics that are set to undergo this process have looked to the Ralph Fiennes movie for pointers, and some have even watched it in the cinema, according to one cleric who did not want to be identified.
And there's a reason for that. Only 20% of the cardinals, 20% who are voting on the new pope
were alive.
Voted on the last pope.
Or voted on the last one. Yeah.
80% of the cardinals who get to vote, and you have to be under the age of 80 to vote, and so there are several that cannot vote because they're over the age of 80. 80% of the cardinals who are voting were appointed by Pope Francis.
Listen to this. The film is seen as remarkably accurate, even by cardinals, making it a helpful research tool, especially at a time when so many of the conclave participants, as you said, have little experience of Vatican politics and protocol.
Well, it's not something you want to have a lot of experience.
Right. That would be a problem.
There is a chance that there would be an American pope coming out of this.
Well, there was.
I don't believe there's ever been an American pope.
The South American pope.
No, an American, North America.
Oh, okay.
American, as in from the United States.
USA.
Yes.
How often do they release the black smoke?
Every time they don't get
every time
two-thirds.
They vote and don't get two-thirds. So okay. Could is it always going to be tomorrow? Could it be later tonight?
So the shortest time it took to select the next pope was 2 days.
Okay. That was a slam dunk, if you will.
And that was like back in 13 something or other. The longest time, I deep dove this all day today. I find this stuff fascinating.
It is fascinating in the historical perspective of it all.
The longest conclave was 2.5 years, and that was in the 1100s. The shortest tenure for a pope was Pope John Paul I, who served only 32 days. Hmm. And he was the pope right before John Paul II that many of us grew up with. He was also known, John Paul I, as the smiling pope.
Did he have a catastrophic medical event?
He did.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Let's see here. Mm-hmm. The term pope comes from the Greek word papas, or the Latin word papa, which means father.
Aww. Love it.
There have been 264 popes, beginning with St. Peter, ending with John Paul II. Obviously, this is a little bit older, so there have been 266 popes. The oldest pope was Adrian I, elected in 772 at the age of 80. The youngest was Benedict IX, elected at the age of 12.
Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm. At 32 years, Pius IX's papacy was the longest, from 1846 to 1878. Up Stephen II's in 752. I was wrong about Pope John Paul I.
Oh.
Stephen II's in 752, his papacy lasted one day.
Uh-huh.
Or papacy.
Papacy, papacy.
Yes, text line, I am Catholic. No, I am not an expert on papal history.
Papal.
Papal.
Come on, papal.
Come on, papal.
As a very bad former Catholic, I do at least know that it's papal.
The Vatican City has its own flag. It is its own country, has its own currency, postal system, railroad station, and radio station. Publishes its own newspaper. And the armored vehicle that the Pope rides in really is called the Pope Mobile. That is true.
And the most recent one is being donated, I think, to
Gaza.
Yeah.
Okay, there's a story in my stack today. You know that I'm fascinated with sharks, spontaneous human combustion, and feral children. Mm-hmm. I'm going to add another phenomenon that is very real and has happened here. And then the latest case that has sort of exploded is in Chicago. The squatters that just come to your house for a variety of reasons when you are not there, move in, and then just claim that your house is theirs. Okay. And we've heard about a couple of stories out of California where this is happening.
Usually these are rentals.
This is now happening in Chicago.
Okay.
And I'm telling you because, you know, I just sold my house. We are looking at buying a house. It's something about the window of time, Scott, between the sale of a house and the purchase of a house, or the purchase of a house and the sale of a house, mm-hmm. where people are doing this. And once they get into your house, maybe have a piece of mail delivered there, you cannot get them out. A homeowner in Chicago has moved in with his squatters to try to get them out. They are blackmailing him, and they have come to a contractual agreement where the homeowner is now going to pay the squatters to vacate the house that does not belong to them.
Why is it that people can move into property that they do not own, and there's there's a legal
someone help explain this
claim that they have on property they do not own?
Squatters' rights.
We should not have that here.
But who approved squatters' rights?
The legislators that we voted into office.
Okay, but I think
you don't own the property.
But I think was this not done like 100 years ago? Maybe when someone went off to war and never returned, you could like homestead sort of the property and then it becomes yours and I trade you a mule, you know, something like that. We should not be allowed to just walk into a house today and say, I'm going to live here, and then magically it's yours. Do you know how many documents you have to sign, by the way, to sell and buy a house? How is this even legal that you can just walk into someone's house and go, yeah, don't mind if I do?
I can think of an alternative resolution.
All right.
Arson?
No, I wouldn't burn my own place down.
We'll talk about it when we come back. We have an interview with the guy who literally has strangers living in his home in Chicago.
He's going to join us?
We've got a taped interview from ABC7.
913-586-7798. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. You know,
going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped death at the hands of the Manson family? But what about the real-life brutal murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, story here out of Chicago. Comes your way from the New York Post. If you can't beat them, live with them. A Chicago homeowner turned unwanted guests into unwanted roommates when he moved in with two suspected squatters who had taken over his home and refused to leave. Marco Velasquez was gearing up to sell his property on the South Side neighborhood where he lives when he received the troubling news from his realtor regarding the unexpected occupants. I couldn't believe it, he says. It was like a nightmare, he tells ABC Chicago. The alleged squatter
Marco Velasquez is the owner of this Southside property, which is on the market to be sold. He says his realtor came by with a potential buyer, but there was already people inside.
I couldn't believe it. It was like a nightmare.
Velasquez says a woman named Charmaine and her boyfriend Codero moved in, claiming they recently purchased the property. He says the couple showed police this mortgage document, but Cook County confirms they don't see this mortgage on record. Velasquez's realtor recorded this video as the couple explained to police they had a right to be there.
Y'all bogus right now. I listen, bro.
He says police told them under Illinois' current law, they couldn't remove anyone.
I said I'm not moving out, and I said at the one point they got to leave. They got to get tired of us being in the property. I called a couple of friends, stay overnight, and I knew they were not gonna like that.
So you're telling me that you and your friends came in and moved in with them?
Yes.
Velasquez says he, his wife, and their friends got a few air mattresses and spent the night with the alleged squatters.
We stayed in the living room. We were washing all the time the door. They stayed in one of the bedrooms.
The next morning, he says he realized they were not budging.
They're like, oh, well, we want $8,000.
Velasquez says they negotiated. He had the couple sign a cash for key agreement, and he paid them $4,300 to leave.
We didn't want to give them money, but we heard, you know, really bad stories about squatters taking over properties 6, 8, 10 months.
Okay, so stop right there, Sam. The couple initially, I think, wanted 10 grand, then asked for 8. This poor guy settles for $4,500 to get them out, even though they're breaking the law.
Because that's the problem. They're not breaking the law.
The police said to Marco, this is not a police matter. This is a civil court matter. Good luck getting them out within the body of a year. A year.
And by the way, all you have to have is some sort of document that makes it look like you received mail there. It doesn't even necessarily have to be mail. And a toothbrush is enough to prove that you have lived there.
Yes. Yep. Scott, listen to me. This is the definition of insanity, because if you or I walked into someone's house and just put our feet up, you could be shot. You could be arrested breaking and entering, which you should be. Forget squatter's rights, Sam. How is this not just breaking and entering? They're literally going into homes that you do not own and do not have a right to and breaking in.
It is, except there are groups out there that are teaching people the squatter's rights, the squatter's bill of rights. And by the way, squatter's rights started way back in 1862 with something called the Homestead Act.
I know it.
That was put in place because people were traveling west and claiming land. And you live on that land for a certain amount of time, you get that land.
So I'm going to avoid the political conversation here, but it has been received on the text line, and I quote, only liberals would allow for squatter's rights. Squatter's rights exist in all 50 U.S. states.
But they are different based on the state and how much power you give the homeowner and how much power you give the squatter.
Here's how much power you give the squatter.
Zero.
None.
Tell that to your legislators.
Well, that's my point.
Well, I think, Sam, the squatters have exposed a gaping loophole in a law that was meant to be productive hundreds of years ago, right? Like, I think the lawmakers, if they really knew this was starting to really actually happen here, they would be running to write a bill that gets rid of squatters' rights, as they should.
But it's my understanding, and I'll look it up during the bottom of the hour break, the Homesteaders Act was for people moving west.
Correct.
The Sooners, so to speak, of Oklahoma. The reason they were called Sooners was the sooner you got there, the more land you could claim. Hence the Oklahoma Sooners.
That is the basis of the Homestead Act, and now you have certain states who have taken a very creative interpretation of that and passed their own version of the Squatter's Bill of Rights.
Okay, why, Sam? Why? Like, help me understand why anyone would think it was a good idea, especially a lawmaker who is traveling back and forth, let's say to Washington, D.C. now and then. When you come home, there could just be someone in your house that goes, you know what? I printed something out on using AI, and it looks like now I own this house. You can't live here anymore. I mean, no one in their right mind would go, yes, let's make a law that allows this to happen.
I completely agree with you. Why? I have no idea. They have rights is always the argument. Homeless people have rights.
So all I need is a toothbrush.
Yep.
Is that really in the law?
These are homeless people. These are breakers and enterers.
I get it.
Well, they're not homeless anymore because they just stole your house.
Thank you.
But what I'm saying
it's not specifically stated in the law what is required. And again, it depends on each state, but you have to have some sort of evidence that you live in the home. You can bring your own dresser in and put underwear in the dresser.
So all I need is a toothbrush and a piece of mail with my name and the address on it, correct?
Correct.
All right. So if it's not somebody with a neighborhood mailbox, this is a mailbox attached to the home or out by the driveway. I notice that they go to work every morning at 8 o'clock and don't come home until 5.
Yeah.
Okay.
You just move in.
So I go to Nebraska Furniture Mart.
Yep.
And open up a credit account.
Yep.
Okay. I buy something small and have the bill sent to that address
correct.
With my name on it,
yes.
I notice that the mailman comes by every day at 11:15. Okay? They're gone from 8 to 5. All I need to do is make sure that I get that one NFM bill out of the mailbox at 11:15 on any given day.
Correct.
Break into the house with my toothbrush.
Babe, sorry, this is mine.
And that house is now mine. Am I being too simplistic?
The lawmakers have not truly in all 50 states wanted this to happen. Newsweek did a story about this, and they are using the word every single time, loophole, that this is a loophole in the law that needs to be closed that apparently gives squatters legal standing to possess real estate owned by someone else.
Scott, by the way, you're making it too complicated.
Okay.
You go to the library, you print off something that looks like a bill
yep.
with your name on it. These people presented a fake mortgage to the police, and the police said that triggers squatters' rights. They printed this off themselves. You don't have to go to Nebraska Furniture Mart and get some line of credit. You just go to the library, print it off, drop it in the mailbox, show up, pull it out of the mailbox. Look at that. I got mail with my name on it. I live here now. Thank you. Have a good day.
There is now a proposed squatter bill. Like emergency push through squatter bill in Illinois.
This is unbelievable.
That was passed in the Senate. It is waiting for further action. But, you know, other lawmakers then add things to that bill, pork, this and that.
Mm-hmm.
It gets watered down and then nothing happens until it's someone you know and you're like, now, wait a minute, how is this legal? Oh, it is.
9-1, go ahead.
There are entire activism groups dedicated to teaching people these loopholes.
Oh, my God.
To teaching them how to move into somebody else's property.
Yes.
Yep.
And take it.
Google it.
913-586-7798. 586-7798. Here on Dana and Parks. Commander Jesse Reed is going to make his second appearance on the show in as many days. Because the USS Truman has lost a second ship or airplane, a fighter jet, in as many weeks.
Call the ball.
Which, by the way, he ruined Top Gun for me in a private conversation. I said, do they really say, I've got the ball?
No.
And he says, we don't say, I got the ball.
Do they say, I've got the plane? Oh, wait, whoops, I don't. It's in the water again.
Twice in 1 week, they said that.
Got it.
That is correct. Megan in Illinois. Megan, hello.
Hi. This is more so of a question, but Scott, you mentioned all it takes is them, you know, waiting for you to go to work and then coming into the house. So the only difference between an intruder and a squatter is whether or not they bring a toothbrush and underwear. Like when the cops show up, when I call the cops.
Toothbrush and a piece of mail.
Mail, right. That's insane to me. That's all it takes?
Sam, you did the research.
Based on the interpretation of multiple state laws around this country regarding squatters' rights, yes, that's all it takes.
So what needs to happen, Megan? No one in their right mind wants this to happen. I will say it again. What needs to happen is that lawmakers get off their butts and craft a law that reverses the squatters' rights. Period.
But Dana, to your point, if nobody wants this to happen, why do all 50 states have squatter
bills? Because
it
dates back hundreds of years. It was also like illegal to hitch your horse next to a post in downtown Kansas City.
Actually, it was required.
Right. And so we've got these old laws on the books that need to be cleaned up. This is one of them. And until recently, I don't know who patient zero was that figured out, man, there is a loophole here and we can just bounce around the country stealing homes.
But why was this legalized?
Someone figured it out and then started sharing it on the internet. And now you are seeing these groups of ne'er-do-wells commandeering other people's property.
Go ahead, Sam.
I would argue in most cases it was never directly legalized. It was just never made illegal.
Illegal.
No, because there has to be a law on the books that says you need a piece of mail sent to that address to claim that you own it.
A limited number of states have actually passed bills saying something like that. And all of this started, you talked about patient zero, Dana. All of this had to have started because one guy tried to pull this off. He hired an attorney and said, no, I have right to be here. Look at the 1862 Homestead
Act. But the Homestead Act allowed people who were moving westward— to grab 160 acres of unclaimed land if they would be willing to move westward.
I didn't see it, you in here. It's unclaimed.
It was the U.S.'s way of literally reclaiming the rest of what is now the United States. If you would move west, go to Kansas, go to Missouri, go to Colorado, go to Utah, if you're the first one there, you get 160 acres. And all you have to do is claim it.
Now, the argument that this is a civil matter and not a police matter is confusing to me, because you have to commit a crime to turn it into a civil matter. The crime being breaking and entering. Is there a counter argument?
The civil matter is not breaking and entering. What police are saying is this, the way the law is written, cannot be handled as breaking and entering. This instead is a civil matter. You have to sue them in civil court to get them out of your property.
Which, by the way, evicting somebody from private property is a 6-month or more long process.
This is why you guys have to watch The Worst Roommate Ever. There is a case where this renter looks great on paper and then just moves in. And once they have that piece of mail there, he's walking around naked. He's making loud noises. He's disgusting. And then he stops paying rent. You cannot get someone like that out.
Nick in Shawnee. Nick, good afternoon. Hello.
Hey, speaking of renting, a couple questions. One would be, I rent, so could that happen to someone who rents, who provides money to a landlord?
Yes.
Yes.
So what would you do in that situation if you're renting? Could you give them the lease and contact your landlord and say, look, we're the only ones on the lease?
Okay, so Nick, let me tell you right now. If you look up Worst Roommate Ever Squatter, there is an episode about a man who is known for doing this thing. Let me find his name. Oh, my God. It's awful. Where he, unbeknownst to the owner of the property, a renter decides, I'm going to sublet one of these bedrooms. Like, I can't really afford it on my own,
which
so I'm going
to
sublet.
Supposed to get approved by the landlord.
Doesn't matter. Okay. If you allow, Nick, one of your renters to bring in a third party, and then that third party stays there, starts getting mail, makes themselves at home, I'm telling you, the laws are written so that you cannot get them out.
Okay. Thank you.
The man's name, by the way, is Jameson Bachman. He is called a serial squatter. And he literally just goes from place to place to place doing this thing.
And he's obnoxious.
And it's not, he doesn't like terrorize you to the point that like, you know, he's not bringing a knife out and threatening your life because he knows that would be illegal. He makes it so uncomfortable for you to be in your own home that you end up just walking away.
Jim in Shawnee. Jim, hello.
Hi. I'm a landlord, and it's what the biggest problem with it is it makes you a criminal being a landlord. Because I've done a couple things in my life that I'm not proud of, and it would be illegal. And I wouldn't do them today. I'm 66. But there was a time I went in maybe 20 years ago, and a guy was in my house, and he didn't have a lease, and I didn't even know who he was. And I pulled blankets off of him in the early morning, and I just happened to be going to a baseball game. I had the baseball bat with
me. Oh, you happened to.
Yeah. And I let him know that if he was not gone that day, that I'd come back. And he apparently was not a baseball fan because he was gone. But it made me a criminal. And it also could have cost me my life because he could have had a gun under that bucket.
Correct.
He's a squatter. And it's horrible to put us, but it's literally, they're stealing right in front of your face because you're not getting that rent. And that's how I retire is from that money. And if they took your paycheck, you would have a baseball bat too. And it's especially when the law, the police won't help you with it, but they'd help that guy if I smacked him.
Police would say to this woman, Scott, when the serial squatter moved in, did you rent this room to him? Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, what's he doing? Well, he stopped paying rent. Well, do you have a contractual agreement? Well, no. He starts moving furniture, stealing things. Like, she comes home and her entire apartment is redecorated with his stuff. Like, just in-your-face, awful behavior.
Penny in Lawrence. Hello, Penny.
Hey, I was just, I looked this up online just now, and the KSNT
had an article that they put out in May of last year, and just at least in the state of Kansas, squatters have to possess and maintain a property for 15 years to actually have squatters' rights.
And they have to continually pay the tax property taxes on said property. However, and here's the loophole, Penny. Squatters also, if you read a little bit further down, squatters have a right to continue living on the premises until you complete the proper eviction procedures.
Correct.
And which can take up to a year.
And so what's happening, Penny, by the time you exhaust that year, the squatters have moved on to their next victim.
That is correct.
In Illinois, that threshold is 20 years.
Oh, my God.
Something tells me, considering based on the way that this victim looks in this interview, he's only about 35 years old. I don't think he bought that home 20 years ago, folks have been living in there for 20 years.
And so what these squatters are doing is—
Yeah, give me $5,000.
They're not— That's exactly
give
right.
Give me $5,000. And you know that it's going to cost you 20 and a year to get them out.
Jinx, you owe me a Coke. You're exactly right.
But you're not supposed to negotiate with terrorists because now they are just going on to the next property.
Come on, and
the next. I'm not saying they're terrorists. I'm saying once you say, I'll give you $5,000 to get out, they've moved on to the next property. And now from you, Scott, they want 10. And then they do it to Sam and they want 20. Like, this is a brilliant, awful racket that we are allowing.
What I still don't understand, and I'm sorry for repeating myself, is they said it was a civil matter because they were claiming squatters' rights. Are they just completely ignoring the initial police matter of the fact that you broke and entered?
Yes.
But Sam, I have mail with my name on it.
Yeah, it's not breaking and
entering. Delivered to this house. I live here.
A toothbrush in the sink that's wet.
Prove I don't.
That's right. Prove I don't live here.
I got up and I shaved in your sink this morning. Prove that I don't live here. And that's when police go,
there's DNA on that razor.
Yeah, this isn't us. This is civil court.
Why do the property owners not have more rights?
It makes me think that if you are rehabbing a home, you pay someone in your family just to stay there while you're rehabbing the house. You can't let somebody get in because once they're in, you can't get them out.
Bill in Shawnee. Bill, hello.
Yes. First of all, I'm a lawyer and I've dealt in real property issues. What is going on, and it's becoming a huge problem, is called land title fraud. And people will innocently think they're buying a house. And this person in Illinois, when they had the real estate sign in the front of their property, they became very vulnerable. So these people will go around and they will act like they're they're a title company, that they're the seller, and they will sign a deed over to your house to someone who may actually paid money for it. So now you have a title dispute over this. And so they may not actually, this guy that moved in, they may be innocent parties in this. However, all the notaries, all that is often just fraud. You know, they're fraudulent notaries. And they're deeding away property that they don't actually own to innocent people.
Bill, last question. Shouldn't we make it more difficult to deed away property? You know all of the paperwork you have to sign to buy or sell a home.
Well, it's not that simple. I can execute a warranty deed to you and record it, and now you own the property. I don't have to go through a title company. Ooh. I don't have to sign all this paperwork. I can sign a deed to you. A quitclaim deed is often, but I can sign a warranty deed where I'm promising I have title, but I don't actually have title to it. So it's a much more complex legal matter, and you can't pass a law that says
no quitclaim deeds.
Who has superior? It has to be decided in a court. Who has superior title?
Oh God!
I'm not defending what's going on, but I don't know how you legislatively. And you hear these commercials about TitleLock.com and all that, and they're kind of preying on fear.
Yep.
But in Jackson County, where public records are, deed records are all online. Very, very vulnerable. You can't really fight it. And so when that person paid $5,000 or $4,000 to get them out, they're saving money because it would take a long time, as Dana, you've said, a long time in court trying to get possession of their own property.
All right, Bill, got to stop you there. Do appreciate the call, 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. So Kansas City, as you guys well know, is well known for its barbecue. According to a new survey from Yelp, where does Kansas City fall on the list of the top 10? We did make the top 10.
Oh, don't you tell me. Okay. All right.
Best barbecue cities in America.
Is Memphis in the top 3?
Memphis is number 4.
Then Kansas City better be 3.
You wouldn't say number 1.
We do not get the love and attention we deserve anytime anyone does one of these studies. I believe we're number 1. I think those who are in charge of the study would say we are 3.
Kansas City is number 3.
Ooh, I guess.
On the list. Let me read this in reverse order
from 10 to 1.
And there's one in here where you're like, "Squeeze me?" Number 10, Nashville. Number 9, Durham, North Carolina.
Okay.
Number 8, Tulsa, Oklahoma.
So far, so good.
Okay. Number 7, Honolulu, Hawaii.
What?
Honolulu, Hawaii.
What?
Is the number 7 best barbecue city in America.
Okay.
We're talking about slow roasting meat over smoke and fire, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Number 6, Greenville, South Carolina. Love that town. And by the way, I've had the barbecue there. It is very good. Number 5, Charleston, South Carolina. Number 4, Memphis. Number 3, Kansas City.
Okay.
Number 2, San Antonio. And number 1, Austin, Texas.
I don't mind that Austin is on that list. I think we should be higher.
Oh, we are certainly better than San Antonio and Austin. You know what we don't have, though, is the number of people that they have to leave Yelp reviews.
That's actually not true. Kansas City has more people in its metro than Austin, Texas, and San Antonio.
What?
Mm-hmm. Kansas City is a larger market than Austin, Texas, and San Antonio.
I would never have guessed that.
When I'm right.
Okay,
the
entire enchilada is what you're talking about. Like the entire metropolitan area.
Isn't that how you judge the size of a city? I mean, New York City only has 9 million people, but it has a metro of 18 million.
Right.
I hate to break it to you, but Austin is bigger, but only slightly.
I thought it was, Scott.
Austin proper is, yes.
No, Austin, Round Rock, San Marcos, the Tri-City metropolitan area, according to the Metropolitan Statistical Area Markers, 2.55 million people.
Then why don't they have a single pro team?
I don't know, but we only have 2.1 mil.
And yet we have three major...
Oh, pardon me, 2.2.
And yet Austin, Texas doesn't have a single professional sports franchise. And they're bigger than us?
Yeah.
I'm going to test you on this.
No, he's right.
When you're welcome to Google it.
When you said that, I was like, are we sure about that? We don't need to argue. It's fine. It's finally raining out. Do the clouds not look so weird today, you guys? Were you out before, like between noon and 1 o'clock today? It was crazy outside.
What do you mean it was crazy?
Just weird.
I drove in at noon.
SLCs.
Also, San Antonio Metro is 2.6 million.
Scary looking clouds, Scott.
Huh. Quick break for the news.
What you do to me?
Dan Weinmann has that coming your way in 2 minutes here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.